So on one hand, on one hand, it is the most amazing, miraculous, supernatural, unbelievable, incomprehensible experience I have ever had in my life. And on the other hand, I have had devils that I had to meet that I had never met before say, hello, I came to kill you. My name is I came to destroy you. Hello, I'm going to bring some out your path and try to kill you. Hello, I got a group of enemies writing about you that you don't even know. Hello, I'm writing a book about you, a guy that I never met. All of this is coming up at the same time. That's my normal now, but it wasn't then. My PR person says to me, there are 212 reporters from all over the world coming to the press conference in the morning. 212. Furthest away being the London Times. From the London Times to the Wall Street Journal, they're all here, Bishop, for your debut. I got back to the place we were staying at, and I stressed out about it. I said, oh, my God. What have you done? You have got me in trouble. And I thought, I must be crazy. I must be crazy. The media never writes nothing good about preachers. They're gonna kill me in the morning. What was I thinking? About 2 a.m., I called my press person, get up out the bed. Cancel the press conference. I must be out of my mind to throw myself out on Front Street under a bus of people who I already know are looking for any kind of edge they can get to destroy me. I am mama's baby. You don't do nothing to mama's baby. I'm going out there for them to eat me alive. People I don't even know. Some of them don't even believe in God. I'm trying to, you know they're not going to believe in me. They don't believe in God. And then the ones who do are so cynical, they only take God if he looks like what they're used to seeing him like. And everything I said was true until I heard what she said. She said, Bishop Jakes, she said, the whole world has turned its head to hear what you have to say. Do you have something to say or not?
This is the Potter's Touch.
Greetings, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. I am so blessed and so excited to have the opportunity to share the word with you. I'm excited about the word. I still get excited about the word. Been preaching 37 years. I still love his word. I love what it does in your life and in your heart. I love how it strengthens you. I love how it helps you. I've got a message that I believe you are going to love. Take a look. The reason we were having trouble communicating was I looked at it and saw opposition. I was absolutely right, too. Everything I said was true. She looked at it and saw opportunity. She was absolutely right, and everything she said was true. The challenge of my life is to coexist between two things that are totally true, yet opposing each other, and my perspective is the only thing that makes the difference. You understand what I'm saying? I went to bed that night and I thought, oh my God. I'm laying in the bed thinking, is that what this is? Is that what this is? Has the whole world turned its head to hear what I have to say? Is this an opportunity for me to say something through all of these vehicles and reach all over the world? In spite of the risk, in spite of the discomfort, in spite of my own human frailties, is this the opportunity hidden in the opposition? That one premise was the catalyst to changing my perspective on how to manage the rest of my life. I did not know that I cannot control the variables I can only control the perspective. We just chilling. Order another cup of coffee. We're going to go a little deeper. This text to me is amazing. Because Jesus has done this fish and loaves thing and fed these 5,000 people, and the people who hated, the people who ate from him loved him. But the people who didn't hated him. And so as more people love you, more people hate you. You can't have more lovers and not have more haters. They both grow up together. A little pastor got a few people that love him. He got a few people that hate him. You get more, you got more people that love you. You got more people that hate you. You get bigger, you got more people that love you. It all goes together. The bigger your life gets, everything comes up at the same pace. So Jesus just did this big thing with these 5,000 people, feeding them fish and loaves and stuff. And they went back to eating with Wonder Bread in between their teeth and fish bones in between their gums and talking about, man, this is heavenly food. This is awesome. This is great. And so people started believing on him. And the more people believe in you or like you or help you or support you, the more people hate you, because it creates an opportunity for envy. Your success in any level creates an opportunity for envy. The only way to avoid it is to stay down. If you lay dead, even the animals won't bite you. The risk of being bitten is the cost of getting up. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And you have to decide, are you so concerned about being bitten that you're willing to spend the rest of your life laying dead? Or is there something pumping down inside of you that says, bite me or not, I'm getting up. I'm going to be the best me. I'm going to do all I can do, even if it risks you hating me. I'm going for it. That's the choice you have to make, or don't get in the game. Jesus now is hated in Judea because he just fed these thousands of people and he's working these miracles. And so it's not wise to go to Judea. Okay? It's not wise because they hate him in Judea. Now, it's not the church folk kind of hate. Because church folk hate you and grin in your face. That's true. This is that real dangerous hate you. They wanted to kill him. Talking about me at the barbershop is one thing. Stabbing me in the chest is a whole different reality. They wanted to kill him. The atmosphere, I don't even know if they played on TV, there was a movie called Spartacus. It sets you in the era that the Bible is written. They didn't take no junk. They cut your head off. It was dangerous to go to Judea. Here comes a Feast of Tabernacles. That means everybody is going to Judea. And now the one who has the most to say can't go to Judea without risk. People have come from everywhere. To speak in Judea is to speak all over the world. But if he goes to Judea, they are going to kill him. Isn't it amazing how your life, when you finally prayed and prayed and prayed and you finally get the opportunity you've been waiting all your life to get, if you reach out to take it, there's a threat? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a risk. You pray. Let me just give you some scenarios that are practical. You prayed, Lord, I want this career opportunity. I want this door open. I'm believing you for this position. And oh God, if you could just give me this position, I am the perfect person for this position, and it will be perfect and everything will be wonderful and I can step into that role. But you didn't know that something in your family was going to go crazy when it did. And if you take this position, you could mess up everything at the house. And so you're standing there like this. Anytime God answers your prayer and the opportunity presents itself, there are always opposing factors that make success not taste successful. Success will taste stressful. Because your opportunities come wrapped in opposition.
Still to come on The Potter's Touch.
Your baby now. Picture your baby, your newborn 3-month-old baby is floating down the river with alligators in the tempestuous rivers of the Nile. And God hid that baby, that opportunity, with nothing around it but opposition. And God let it float through stuff that should have killed the baby. Is there anybody in here that has floated through some stuff that should have killed you, but God hid you and kept you alive?
We all face opposition, but know that it's not the end. It's just an opportunity.
Challenge of my life is to coexist between two things that are totally true yet opposing each other, and my perspective is the only thing that makes a difference.
Take hold of it and know that your time is now. This is your opportunity.
He hid his wisdom, his inheritance. He took it and put it where nobody would ever expect to find it. He hid it in you.
For your gift of any size, we want to give you This Is Your Opportunity on CD.
This is not an opposition. This is an opportunity.
When your gift is $70 or more, you will receive the entire Your Time Is Now series on DVD. When your gift is $140 or more, we also want to give you Mrs. Sarita Jake's new book for teens, The Princess Within, and the Tumblr mug set. Just visit us online or call 1-800-BISHOP-2. The year's most highly anticipated event is here. The wait is over. The Woman Thou Art Loosed 2014.
I just love being here. It's exciting. The speakers are awesome.
The lineup is incredible.
There's something you walk away with that you can't take from a DVD.
Things are happening. Lives are changing.
Being able to cut the cord of things that you've had in your past.
This is the life-changing event of the year.
And I'm so glad I did come here.
Definitely a movement.
Register today for Woman Thou Art Loosed 2014.
You finally got yourself where you can live. I'm just giving you a scenario where you can live your life the way you wanted to live it. You finally settled. Okay, I'm going to be single. Okay, I'm cool with that. I'm old enough now. I'm wise enough now. I've reached a point now. I can handle it. I'm all right with that. That's good. Me and Jesus. Get up when I want to get up. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean. Nobody's drawers to wash. Ooh, say, nothing to do. I'm good with that. And then you get a phone. Hello? Who is this? Maybe you know who this is. Now, the advisors say to him, this is very important. The people around you have everything in the world to do with the decisions you make. To have access to the man of God puts him at risk because he is most vulnerable to the people that are closest to him. Because they get in your ear, spouting their perspective. And if they are right, it is a blessing. But if they are wrong, it is a curse. And if they are wrong, they don't die, you die. So the people he has around him said, look, Jesus, let me tell you the truth. You're doing the right thing in the wrong way. The miracles that the people need to see, to believe in you, they don't get to see them because you're always doing them behind closed doors. You told the man that you cast the demons out of it in the tomb of Gadarenes. You sent him home. We could have used him.
the last person you healed, you told them not to tell anybody. That's why they don't believe in you, Jesus. Your own brothers don't believe in you. It's time for you to face the facts. You healed that woman with the issue of blood and didn't even do nothing with it. She just got her healed. We could have used her testimony. You didn't say nothing about it. You keep doing your greatest stuff in private, Jesus. That's what's wrong with the movement. Oh, yes, you took 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread and fed 5,000 people, but it was out in the desert. When are you going to do your stuff on center stage so that the world will know that you're Lord? Your brothers don't even believe in you. Jesus says, I am not going to read my lips. You go. The world doesn't hate you. They hate me. And you are advising me into a position where you are not at risk. Go yourself. That's what's happening in this text. And Jesus said, I'm not going. Y'all go ahead. Have you ever made a decision? And as soon as they walked out the door, you said, wait. I don't need you nowhere. Take you, the car, and the money. I'll be fine. Door slam. Boom! And Jesus makes a clear statement. I am not going. Y'all go ahead. What we get to watch in this text is an opportunity. We have an opportunity in this text to watch Christ change his mind. Now, for my theologians, this is an anthropomorphic statement. It does not mean that God changes his mind, because God, being a sovereign God, could not change his mind. His word is forever settled in heaven. But it is a human metaphor to describe a divine ability that defies human comprehension. It is as close as we can get to articulating what God does when he reverses a verdict, is to take the liberty of reducing it to the human attribute of changing your mind. They shut the door, boom, bat, and Jesus said, let me get dressed. I'm going to sneak up there, but I'm going to Judea. I'm going because, you know, it's the feast. Everybody's going to be there at the feast. And I'm running out of time. Whatever I'm going to do, I got to go ahead and do it now. And when you are running out of time, you have to understand that you have to take risk. Because you can't afford to sit around and say, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Hey, Sarah, Sarah. Notice how they were singing that when you were 18? Ain't nobody singing that now? Because it ain't que sera, sera, whatever will be. You got to make it happen or it's not going to happen. You got to get up off your hind parts and bust a move or nothing is going to happen in your life. Slap your neighbor and say, take a risk. So Jesus started putting on his sandals, you know, and he gets on his throne and he covers himself and he brushes back his hair a little bit and says, okay, I'm going, but I'm going to go up at night and I'm going to go through the rocks and I'm going to climb over the creek bed and nobody even knows I'm there. Sometimes you have to sneak up on success. You got to sneak up on it. Never let them see you coming. You're easing up to it. You're easing up to it. See, you talk too much about your success, and you will delay your success. You need to shut it down. Your mouth is too big for where you're trying to go. If you hold your peace, it will speak for itself. But because you announce everything to everybody, you further jeopardize the opportunity that the Lord is affording you. Have another cup of coffee. I got something else to tell you. Hallelujah. God is masterful at hiding stuff. We talk about God exposing stuff. He exposed himself. He spoke, peace be still, and the winds and waves lay down. He exposed, it's a ghost, no, it's Jesus, bid me to come. We talk about him exposing stuff. We never tell you that God had stuff. God had stuff. God had stuff. Oh, my God, he could hide better than my mother. My mother could hide stuff the FBI couldn't find it. Saddam Hussein would have been all right if mama had hit him. They'd have never found him. They'd have never found him. Mama had stuff. You have to go in the room and you have to go into deep meditation. You'd have to lower yourself down to her height and then do an aerial scan around the room. God is masterful at hiding stuff. Think back to the book of Exodus. When the Pharaoh, do you know how strong the Pharaoh was? Do you know how powerful the Pharaoh was? If the Pharaoh said something, you did what the Pharaoh said. The Pharaoh told two little women, kill every male Hebrew child born. You didn't argue with the Pharaoh. It wasn't like you was going to jail. The Pharaoh would cut your head off, feed your kids' liver to you down your throat. The Pharaoh was the man, absolute, total monarchy and complete control. And yet, these two women decided, no, we're not doing that. And so they lied. I ain't gonna go into that. They lied a little bit. They said the Hebrew women are lively, and when they give birth, by the time we know anything, the baby just jump out. Just baby just jumps out. Just, I'm out. Old dumb Pharaoh, he had a lot of power, but he didn't have a lot of sense, and he didn't know nothing about women, so he didn't know how to argue, so he said, okay, stupid. So now he says, watch this, he says, every male child that popped out, kill him. Before he's 2 years old, kill every last one of them. And God let Moses pop out and hid him in the house. Now don't think of your house because you got too many rooms. This is a Hebrew slave house. Where do you hide a baby in a Hebrew slave house? Most of you have seen what African-American slave houses look like. This is a Hebrew slave house thousands of years ago. Where you put the baby? God is masterful at hiding stuff. They searched the tent. They couldn't find it. The baby was hidden in the house. Then he takes it from one hiding and hides it in an ark and puts it in an ark, a mud-covered, wood-framed artifact that was made to put things in that would float, and put it in the river with snakes. Your baby now. Picture your baby, your newborn, three-month-old baby is floating down the river with alligators in the tempestuous rivers of the Nile. And God hid that baby, that opportunity, with nothing around it but opposition. And God let it float through stuff that should have killed the baby. Is there anybody in here that has floated through some stuff that should have killed you, but God hid you and kept you alive? We'll be right back right after this.
We all face opposition, but know that it's not the end. It's just an opportunity.
Challenge of my life is to coexist between two things that are totally true, yet opposing each other, and my perspective is the only thing that makes a difference.
Take hold of it and know that your time is now. This is your opportunity.
He hid his wisdom, his inheritance. He took it and put it where nobody would ever expect to find it. He hid it in you.
For your gift of any size, we want to give you This Is Your Opportunity on CD.
This is not an opposition. This is an opportunity.
When your gift is $70 or more, you will receive the entire Your Time Is Now series on DVD. When your gift is $140 or more, we also want to give you Mrs. Sarita Jake's new book for teens, The Princess Within, and the Tumblr Mug Set. Just visit us online or call 1-800-BISHOP-2.
What makes a newborn make sucking noises? When a sea turtle is birthed on land, the first thing it does is start moving toward water. The caterpillar doesn't spin silk because he sees somebody else doing it. These are natural, innate instincts. There is an instinct to increase. There is an instinct to lead.
In his newest book, New York Times bestselling author T.D. Jakes gives you keys to true fulfillment when you align your actions with your instincts.
People need to go back to following their instincts.
Unleash your inborn drive. Purchase your copy wherever books are sold. Visit tdjakes.org. Available in stores everywhere.
The year's most highly anticipated event is here. The wait is over.
We're about to rock it out.
Woman Thou Art Loose 2014. With speakers, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Sarita Jakes, Christine Kane, Dr. Jasmine Scullark, Dr. Claudette Copeland, Sarah Jakes, Pastor Van Moody. This is going to be epic. The wait is over. Woman Thou Art Loose 2014 in Atlanta, Georgia, October 2nd through 4th. Register today.
There is an incredible man in the man you got. And if you don't believe it, ask the woman who's looking at him. You used to believe it, or you wouldn't have married him. And what you believed in him is what you saw in him. Now, if you believe in oppositions, you'll become blind to opportunities. And you won't see opportunities again until some other woman sees it. It's how you see it. Sure, he got issues. Everybody got issues. Newsflash, you got issues. He crazy, you crazy. So what? So we ain't gonna spend 5 years arguing over who the craziest. Yes. I'm out of time. I've got to stop there, but it's been a real joy, a precious joy, a deep and fortifying blessing to share the word of the Lord with you and to be an instrument to encourage you. I pray he used me well. And I pray you become all that God has called you to be. And I pray above everything else that you do not quit. For you are closer now than when you first believed. God bless you. Hold on.